thought I didn't flip it all the way. I got it in the center. That's what happened. Thank you. Anyhow, went to see Michael on his third grade award ceremony today. And but I couldn't help sitting there watching these youngsters. They come up, you know, they bore you probably rehearse some, come up, and the teacher reads about them, and they get their thing, and then they walk off, and had a certain pattern and all that. But every one of them is different. You know, you have one that walks 3-4 steps and does a skip step, 3-4 steps, skip. You know, there are some of them that were the challenged ones that they almost stole the show because they come out around the corner and didn't stay with the teacher. They wanted to come over to the stand where the parents are, you know, all of a sudden, you know, and things like that. But each one of them, you can already see their personality developed. They got more developing to go, but you can already start telling the happy-go-lucky ones, the ones that are very serious, that walk up there just very serious-minded, you know, barely looking around. You start seeing that already. And here there are third graders, you know, the 9-10 age bracket. And that's the way life is. And I'm bringing that up to start off with. We was a little bit rushed. I didn't quite get finished last week on things. I did not get to go over the take-home point last week. We finished up doing the what makes you happy. Maybe. I'll come back to that in a little bit. But the take-home point that we have been talking about is an incredible privilege to share your life with friends and family. Each person is handcrafted by God and is completely irreplaceable. Honor God by spreading your zeal like Noah and Joshua, Lois and Eunice and Philip that we talked about that last lesson. And that is so very true. I talked to I have this psychologist that comes to me. And he goes and he works with these big foster homes. They may have 20 or 30 foster kids in one of these homes. And he has to go, and it's a kind of a mandate that they see a psychologist once a week and go over how they're doing and problems or whatever. And sometimes he gets those late night calls where one of them just flips out and has a problem and they're having to send them to a psych hospital someplace, and he has to be there and go help get them checked in and all that. But he was talking about the sadness of that situation as he's going through visiting with them and talking with them, that over the years he's kind of watched and followed some of them once they got out of foster care and try to go into society, how they still stayed the same personality. If they're thinking bad all the time, they get out, and it wasn't long they did something bad and end up in prison. You know, and he said it was so sad. And then he said every once in a while you get a breath of life that he works with. He's working with one right now, and he's just trying to do everything he can to help that kid get through the foster care and get out, because he'll probably make something of his life. And he said, I've done this so long and worked with so many, it's really kind of depressing for him, because you already see the writing in the on the wall, so to speak, about how they're going to probably turn out, because they don't have anybody that really cares for them. Because these foster care units, these people that work there, that's just a job. They're not there to try to really help these kids to improve and get better. So it's one of those type of things. And then we flip it around. The church family should be a very unique situation. We're all bound together in the same belief, okay? We all understand about God. We all understand that if we do what he says, do his will, we're going to make it to heaven. I mean, it's, you know, we hear prayers about hope, but I think it goes beyond that. I mean, if you're doing everything you know is right, and your conscience is clean, there's no hoping. You're going. You're going. We got to have that faith like the apostles did. And we got to just stay on track. So not lecturing today, but it's just one of those things that, you know, I had that guy in, then we went and watched Michael and all his classmates and that grade level go through. And it's just a thing that you see. A few weeks ago, had a class reunion, high school class reunion. So we went. Then afterwards, our main class went and met one of the guys' homes. And I sat and listened, talking to these guys. They haven't changed since high school, you know. Just same attitudes, you know, type situation. And I think about my own life. And I'm saying all this for you to sometimes think about your own life. I've changed. I mean, I was not a good guy going through high school, okay? And thanks to my wife, I did a turnabout. And that's the way it should be. And we can change, but we got to work on it. Okay, it's practice. We got to work on it all the time. And it's not easy. It's hard to make those changes, but we can do it. And we do all that with God's help and prayer, asking God to help us change and do better. So I just wanted to touch base on that to start off with today. Now, we got cut a little bit short last week. I asked at the beginning of the class about who's happy. Does anyone else want to share with us what makes you happy? Silence. Okay. One of those nights. Last week I lost control of the class, and this week everybody's silent. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Revelation 2:4-5. What's he doing? He's talking to one of the churches. Okay, have we lost our lampstand? We have a chance of losing that. That's some of the stuff we'll talk about this time. This is a new chunk of wood we're throwing on the fire. Any effort to stir up your zeal, the zeal of a local church, must begin with motivation of love. We have to have a love for God, for Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. And we have to incorporate that love in our life. Just criticizing or condemning the church in its current state doesn't help. You know, sometimes we go along and we don't like this particular thing or that particular thing, and we start grumbling. And we grumble to our friends, and those friends may grumble to somebody else. And before you know, we got some people grumbling. But they don't try to do any changes, whatever the problem may be. Instead of trying to help it, they just want to grumble about it. And that's true for a lot of things. Workplace type situations, the schools are probably the same way. The kids get the same way. I know in college, college was something else. We would grumble, you know, why in the world they have our schedule set this way and da 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 da. And then lo and behold, years later, I get asked to be on the Board of Regents over at the Chiropractic College. And once I became a Board of Regent and started looking at all the rules and federal regulations and state regulations and all this stuff that we had to abide by to open the doors and keep them open, all of a sudden I realized, you know, there wasn't a thing as students we could do about it. This is things that has to be done this particular way in order. And then lo and behold, I said something in a board meeting about it, and guess what? I got to be a liaison between the board and students. And that was a really interesting 2 or 3 years in there, type situation, trying to answer questions that I had when I went through on why we have to do it certain ways with their education. So there's a lot of factors that get involved in that. But we have to have a love, okay? We have to have that love for God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. We can't go around condemning. When Jesus wrote to the 7 churches of Asia, he was motivated by great love to exhort them, okay? Nobody wants to ever get exhorted, chewed out for what you're doing wrong. Am I correct on that? I think I'm pretty correct on that. I don't think anybody likes to be that way. You do your children that way, their grandkids that way. You know, they're doing something that they don't need to be doing, and you're going to exhort them. You're going to chew them out and say, hey, you can't do it this way. We've got to do it this other way. And that's what Christ is doing. But he was motivated by great love. Same thing with us as parents and grandparents. We have a love for the child, and we don't want them to get hurt. We don't want them to get hurt physically or emotionally down the road. So we're going to try to make those corrections and help them out. We're going to be looking at how we can work from a position of love, how we can enhance, expand the zeal of your local church family. You know, Jesus' counsel for restoring the lukewarm church at Laodicea is still the solution for the church today. He told them, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. It's over in Revelation 3:20. I think most of you got the list of the verses I'll be going over. They're pretty well in order. Revelation 3:20. Notice on this, his counsel, when you talk to him, wasn't try harder. That wasn't the counsel. What did he say? Let him in. Let him in. That's one of the problems that some people haven't truly done. They haven't let Christ into their life, into their heart. And until a person can truly do that, they're going to struggle some. The Church of Rome had an excellent reputation, Romans 1:8. What reputation, if any, does your congregation have in the immediate community? Now, I'd like to hear some comments. What kind of reputation do we have in the community? Simple question. Good? Bad? In between? Yeah, here. What? Strict? Okay. Yeah, we get kind of known as the legalistic, because we take the scripture and look at them pretty close, okay? We study scripture. It's not a lot of paraphrasing. We take things a little bit more literal, and we're able to do that because we study a lot harder and open up a lot of these encyclopedia books and so forth and study from those many times. And good answer, Cheryl. What else? There's another one that always comes out real quick when I talk to people. Sometimes judgmental. Yeah. Oh, y'all the only ones going to heaven. Okay. What else? What? Not involved in the community. Yeah, I hear that sometimes. And as soon as I hear that, I look at them and say, I'm involved. I'm in the Rotary Club. We do a lot of different things in the community. I mean, we raised, I think, about $150,000 two weekends ago, which we'll give back to the community. And when I say that, I wasn't talking about you, you know. But there are people, I say, then that opens the door about we're doing individuals do those type of things. It's not a work of the church to go out here and fund the Red Cross or to fund the homeless shelter. It's not the work of the church to do that, okay? So the work of the church is to do what? What? Couldn't hear you. Spread the word. Teach people. Convert them. Okay? And I'm going to add the other part of that is keeping the saved saved. Okay? How many times have you run across someone that was a Christian, grew up in the church, obeyed the gospel, and then they get in college, then they married somebody that wasn't a Christian, and now they go off to some other situation and never think about getting back to church again, and they have drifted away. Well, you know, they can always change again, you know. It's just one of those things. And sometimes they haven't studied the word enough to totally understand, okay? We're all in this together on trying to get to heaven. We got to help each other, okay? Anything else on that? Well, okay, in years past, to answer that, Cheryl, yes, you're correct, in that we just like to visit as elders, visit with a person, find out about their past, see where they're at, what needs do they have, where they are in their spiritual life, you know, where they're a babe in Christ or being a Christian for a while, or maybe they're a past preacher, like I found out about Mike Murphy, you know, things like that. So it gets us to help know a person better, okay, on that. But at the same time, we used to, years ago, somebody would attend a church service, you did the invitation, and they would go up front and they wouldn't become a member of the church, and they would just automatically invite them in as a member of the church. And then afterwards, they found out, oh, they've got a lot of problems here. We got to really work and do a lot of study and try to help them understand more about their life and where they're living at this point in time. So that was part of that change around on that. So if I answered your question on that, but that is a good one. Answer. Anything else? Huh? No, it's not hate music. Y'all sing a cappella. Y'all don't like the piano and the organ, you know, or the big bands now. A lot of churches have the 6, 8, 10 instrument bands. A chiropractor I see over in Beaumont, her husband, he goes into these churches and does all the sound systems and all that type of stuff. And I was talking to him one day, and he was on a job at some big church over in the Beaumont area, and they had, 5 strings, 2 saxes, a set of drums, and something else. And he was having to set up the sound system because every one of those wants to make sure their instrument is heard. Okay? Hey, it's not for entertainment. He even made the comment. He said, man, nobody can ever sing in there because the band is so loud, there's no need to sing. They just sit and listen to the band play type situation. And years ago, when I grew up in a Baptist church, they had a big choir. The congregation did not sing. They just sat and listened to the choir sing, is what they did. Okay? So it wasn't the aspect of singing and making melody in your heart, as the scripture actually commands, it was an aspect of listening to the music, and you didn't actually sing. And the Lord wants us to sing. I don't care how bad your tune or tone or pitch and all that stuff is on that. The Lord still wants you to sing, okay, regardless of how poor quality your voice may be or how great it is. It can go either way on that, okay? So that's another one. Is there anything else am I missing here? Clint? Yeah. I haven't thought that whole situation through. Okay. Right. So there's several things that we just went over, and there's things that we can always work on and help on to try to continue to let our light shine in our community. And it's just an ever-going, everlasting, it's going to always be that way. We just got to keep plugging and going and trying to explain to people and teach them, and that's part of life. But even still, it goes back of still making sure that we truly understand facts and things in the Bible too, because a lot of times we end up not. Bringing zeal to a lukewarm church begins with uniting around the leadership of Jesus. We got to be surrounded. Think about Jesus, okay? If Jesus came to your assembly, listen to this now, think about this one. If Jesus came into our assembly right here at Eastside, we're getting ready to have Sunday morning worship, and a stranger walks in that we haven't seen before, and it's Christ. Think about that. And presented the Sunday morning sermon. He came in, booted the preacher off the pulpit, and Christ did the sermon. Okay, what would he address? That's what he's doing over in Revelation when he talks to those churches. Okay, he's addressing each one of them about their shortcomings or the good side, what they're doing right. Okay, what would he address here at Eastside? And probably most of us going to all have a little different answer on what it may be. Okay? But that's something we got to think about. If Jesus spent 3 months in your local church, in our local church right here, what would he change? What do you think he would change? You're looking at me, Rebecca. You got an answer? No, no answer from Rebecca right now. She's still thinking about it. Okay? When you know the answers to these questions, it's time to get to work. When you know those answers, that means you need to work on something. And I think there's always going to be something we can work on. And it's just a challenge for each and every one of us in the local congregation. He is knocking, and the church must welcome him. When the church devotes itself to following him, he will not lead them in a lukewarm path. Like the saints at Ephesus, now is the time to return to your first love. Okay? And we're right at that right now, okay? We kind of got into a little blasé some because our previous preacher decided he was going to leave. And we've been on the look for a different preacher. And we kind of settled into having, what, three different preachers that came, you know, cycled in and out and preached for us on Sunday mornings. And with that, it's not that they didn't deliver good sermons. We heard some really good sermons from them. But we kind of got in a blasé attitude and during that time period. But now we've latched on and we have a preacher. We got our located preacher again. And he's in the process of getting lined up here. He's already asked me, well, is there a study that, a theme you guys want me to think about preparing sermons on? I mean, he's excited. I mean, he is excited. We need to be excited right behind him, okay? Help build him up as he builds us up and gets us encouraged at the same time. Every local church, there are members just waiting to be equipped for living with zeal. We all have it in us. We all have that zeal just waiting there. And some things we have been zealous on, but there's other things we can be zealous on also. It doesn't have to be just one thing. We all have our separate talents. Do your talent, but there's other things you can grow into doing another talent also. Is think about some of these type of things. Look how much good came from Priscilla and Aquila investing in the zeal of Apollos. In Acts 18:24-28. Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was proficient in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was accurately speaking and teaching things about Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began speaking boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God more accurately to him. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So we have this whole situation here. He was zealous. He was burning, teaching. But at the time, he had unfortunately hadn't learned the full gospel on what had happened. And part of that is because communication didn't travel like it is now. I mean, something can happen over on the other side of the world, and we will be reading about it on the phones within 5 minutes, you know. Full pictures, whole article. I mean, those journalists are quick writing stuff up. It wasn't that way back then, okay? If you start looking at some of the studies on stuff, when they came out with the telegraph, you know, type stuff that they would do, that wasn't very quick either. Pony Express wasn't very quick, and that was used in a lot of areas type situation. So the news did not travel very fast, and he had heard part of the gospel, but he had not heard the full gospel. And then this couple comes along and heard, oh, he needs to know the actual rest of the truth here. So they pulled him aside. They didn't embarrass him. They pulled him aside and talked to him about it. So he was ready and willing to go and spread the gospel wherever he was needed. Although the Bible describes him as fervent in spirit, there is much he still needed to learn. By increasing his wisdom and zeal, he was taken to a whole new level. And in the congregation, we have everybody sitting out here We have some that are on just babes in Christ on one level. We have others that they've learned so much, and others so much more, and others so much more. So you have all these different levels of learning, just like in a school system. That's the reason why they got all these different grade levels, because as you go through learning, you're going to have those different levels. And you'll, when you're in that grade level, everybody's thinking in that same, you know, same aspect. You're all studying the same type of math or English or whatever. I'm just waiting when, I don't know if they still do it or not, Michael gets to this where they take a sentence of the English language and they tear it apart with adverbs and adjectives. Don't do it anymore. Well, why in the world did I have to do it? I mean, come on. Is that the reason why the English language is kind of breaking up so bad? But okay, well, I was just wondering on that one. So he was set on fire. As elders, and with Brandon's our preacher, we can plan sermon plans, sermon series, Bible classes to build up the courage, energy, diligence, wisdom, loving service to the church. And that's what we need, okay? And we're going to be sitting down and visiting more with Brandon. We're trying to get him settled right now, but it might take some different type of classes that we'll be working with. But these fields can be the topics for guest speakers or for small Bible studies, which we just had one. And so that all happens. Our last group meeting, we had a guest speaker. Who was the guest speaker? Those that was there. Who gave the lesson that night? Jose. He was our guest speaker that night. And Jose had a great lesson he delivered that night. Okay? So we all think in different ways, but we're all using the same book, but we can pull different things out, and it all meshes together. And that's what we're trying to do. We're going to stop there before they start doing a dance back there on me. So we'll pick up there next week. Y'all keep that zeal going. Keep trying to teach people. Every time I talk about zeal, I think about the preachers we have over in down in Mexico. How they go out on the, take their little, what do you call those, speaker systems, and sit on the across the street from bus stations, and they preach the gospel. And not many preachers would do that here in America, but that's a big thing for them to do, trying to encourage people down there. Y'all have a good evening, and we'll do the rest of our service here in just a little bit. Thank y'all.